Hello, tourists. Magical Matthew here on this tour, number 103 of Disney Conversations. I am joined once again by a guest tour guide, Lori Harding. She's been with us a few times before. We really value what she has to add to the conversation. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the items that came out in Disney News this week and discuss a little bit about how that might apply to future visits to Walt Disney World. We hope you'll find this information helpful. Let's get on with the conversation, shall we? All aboard! Hello, tourists. Welcome to tour number 103 of Disney Conversations. I'm your host, Magical Matthew. Joining me today is a very special tour guide, Lori Harding. Hi, Lori. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Anytime I get to talk Disney, that's a good day.
Yes, definitely. Thanks for having me back, too.
I'm glad you're here because we've talked a few times, and I like your perspective on things. So with what we're going to talk about today, I think we could have some good discussion. So let's just see where we go.
Sounds good to me.
So to tee everything up, Disney announced that the packages for 2024 for Walt Disney World will be available for booking beginning May 31st, 2023. So in just a few weeks. And as a part of these packages, they've made some changes and additions that will be available as well. And rather than trying to type it all up in my own words, I'm going to kind of read through here real quick what they said, maybe paraphrase it a little bit for simplification, but everything that they announced is going to start on January 9th, 2024. People asked why that was, and if I'm not mistaken, that will be after the Run Disney weekend, I think.
Is it that early in January?
I think it's usually the first weekend in January, first full weekend after New Year's.
First full weekend? Okay, so that would make sense. Yeah.
So I haven't double-checked that, but I'm guessing that's, and a lot of people already have their reservations for that, so I think maybe they're just trying to cut down some of the confusion. Let's start with a discussion on theme park reservations, because we love those so much. Theme park reservations will no longer be required for date-based tickets. When getting a ticket, simply select the start date for January 9th, 2024 or after. Complete the purchase and you're all set. Date-based tickets are standard ticket options offered to guests. Other admission types, such as non-dated tickets, aka annual passes, theme park reservations may still be required. Now, the fact they say may still makes me think they're thinking about what they might do with that. And they're doing this to supposedly deliver a great experience for everyone. So as best as I understand, date-based tickets are anything you might buy day of at the park, and it may include tickets you buy in your packages as well, because they're going to have a certain date range with which they can be used. If that's the case, when I go to book my package, it's possible I don't have to make theme park reservations. I just wonder exactly what, see, the one thing I don't like about Disney giving us little tidbits like this is they don't give us a lot of detail to work with. So we have to guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way I read that one and how I remember it being now, like the last trip that you booked for me, I bought my park tickets separate. You just booked my rooms.
Correct.
And when I purchased those tickets, I had to put in this start date of my trip. Mm-hmm. And then my tickets were good for 10 days from the start of that date.
Right.
So that's where I took the date base by is any ticket you're buying, be it day of or 6 months ahead of time, you're picking a date range on now already. So that maybe that would mean that then you don't have to have reservations for a specific park in those days.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think that's exactly what it means. I think that's a good thing because you might plan on going to Magic Kingdom on a given day, but you may wake up the next morning and say, you know what? I feel like it's an Epcot day instead. You don't want to have to go into a reservation system and try to figure out if you can cancel one to go to the other. You want to just jump on a bus or monorail or a Skyliner and go. If that's the case, I like the fact that that flexibility just might be returning.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair. We have had days where we've gotten on the bus, pulled up to whatever park, I can remember specifically it being Magic Kingdom one morning,
Right.
taking a look at the lines to get in, turning around and getting on another bus and going to Animal Kingdom. Because it was like looking at, Morgan, my daughter, and saying, I'm not doing that. And she looked at me and said, I'm not doing that. And
Yeah.
off we went. So, and if you don't have a park hopper, too, that ability, you can't tap in to one park, go for a couple hours, tap back out, and go to the other.
Right. And then we move into what annual pass holders do have. Says we plan to offer select days on which our annual pass holders may visit Walt Disney World theme parks without needing a park reservation. Once introduced, we will roll out these good to go days on an ongoing basis. This will be in addition to the recent update that offers pass holders the opportunity to visit the theme parks after 2 p.m. without needing a park reservation, with the exception of Saturday and Sunday at Magic Kingdom. Good-to-go days may vary by park, and pass blockout dates and capacity limitations apply. And of course, it says stay tuned for more details on good-to-go days. So it doesn't sound like this is going to be something that's offered every day. And I don't know, am I reading this correctly? Is this something that they might decide? They might wake up one morning and say, okay, let's give this to the pass holders. Or do you think they're going to plan ahead a little bit on this so the pass holders can make a plan?
We'd hope they'd plan a little bit ahead for the pass holder so they can make a plan. It almost sounds like it's an easier way to say it's a blocked day for them, depending upon the level of their pass,
Right.
too. Like maybe it's just a different way for them to phrase that so that they're not necessarily taking away their ability to come if they can get a park reservation, but maybe blocking out certain dates where they, need to have that reservation. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think Diana will have more to say about this when she gets back because she is an annual pass holder. Maybe she's got more
Gotcha.
information that I don't.
Yeah, I haven't seen much on that end.
Yeah, just looking at because I've never had an annual pass holder, and given the current prices, I'm not willing to sell a kidney, so I guess I'm not going to get one.
I've had them twice, but it was long enough ago that we were still in one of the years, I believe, we still had paper fast passes, if I'm not mistaken.
I
It's
mean,
far
I'd
enough
love to get
back.
one, but then I'd have to legitimize the use for it by making sure I get down there 2 or 3 times a year for at least 4 days each to
Right.
make it pay for itself.
Well, it used to be more cost effective to do it. I feel like it's gotten a little more cost prohibitive in the past few years. But
Yeah.
when I did it, we had two trips planned within a 12-month period and it just worked. It was cheaper. And then we made excuses to go in between.
Now, I will say that if they ever opened up the monthly payment plan to anybody who wants one, I would
Yeah.
seriously consider putting that down payment down and making that work.
I would think about that as well.
Because I've got three, count it, three budget type airlines that leave out of Columbus, and I can figure out how to survive in one carry-on bag for a couple of days.
Oh, absolutely. You learn very quickly.
I might skip renting the scooter for that time because I probably won't want to run and do everything if I have the annual pass. I'm going to pick a park, go do some of my favorites, go back to my resort, enjoy the resort for a little bit. I'll be a little more relaxed about it because I know I'm coming back.
Yeah, you get that mindset after you've been a handful of times
Yeah.
in a year. You kind of learn how to, the years we had it, we did go down at least 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And you move at a slower pace once you do that.
Yes, you
So.
do. All right, here's the big one. This one always leads to a lot of conversation.
Okay.
They are bringing back the fan favorite Disney dining plans. Dining plans will be coming back as an option for those staying at Disney resort hotels who purchase a vacation package starting on January 9th and moving forward. These bookings will be available as of May 31st. This is how I figured out that May 31st was going to be the release date. And then a few hours later, they put out that May 31st was going to be the release date for packages. So,
Gotcha.
cart got before the horse, at least as far as my
Yeah,
reading
they missed
went.
that part.
So, for families in particular, this may be important because we know that whether for good or bad, a lot of people really liked using the dining plan. They're prepaid. They give you the convenience of planning your meals far enough out. The one thing I do see that might happen with this is they may go back to the 6-month reservation system.
I was just going to say that. How are you going to do? Yeah, with 60 days, I don't know how that'll work.
I might be okay if they went to a 90-day reservation system.
Yeah.
Split the difference a little bit. I think six months is just too far. You don't really have an idea of what you want to do, much less where you want to eat in 6 months.
I don't know what I want for dinner, and it's after 6 o'clock at night. So, you know.
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, I get that.
Yep.
So they're going to offer two options, and these are the two options that probably 80 to 90% of the people took in the past. One is the Disney Quick Service Dining Plan. The other one is what I call the standard Disney Dining Plan. I don't know what those are going to include. We can talk a little bit about what they used to include in hopes that they're going to be similar. Disney Quick Service Dining Plan included, I believe, two quick service meals, one snack, and a refillable mug. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I believe from what I've read in the past couple of days, that's the general gist of what's coming out as to what it's going to be again.
I don't see what benefit it would do to change that one a whole lot because it's pretty basic as it is.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want that to scare our listeners off because you can eat quite well at Disney quick service restaurants.
Absolutely.
There's lots of choices. I think even some of the booths during the festivals are eligible, at least for snack credits.
It used to be in the past, yeah. I don't know if it's...
I know that when we walked around Food and Wine last year, a lot of those menu boards had DDP stamped on
them. Yeah. So were they... Yeah, I did remember that popping up and people saying, was it coming back now? Why is it coming back? Right. Why do they have that there if it's not coming back? Yeah.
Well, I think they've known for a while it was coming back. They were just trying to figure the timing out on it. But
yeah,
that's just...
for sure. Yeah.
And then the standard Disney dining plan is one quick service, one table service. It was two snacks. I think I heard today that it's going to be one snack a day.
Yes.
And then the refillable resort mug. Now, keep in mind with that resort mug, you can carry that with you and pop into another resort to fill it up if you want to take the time to do that. It will work.
Correct.
I've seen it done.
I've done it.
Maybe you're the one I heard that from.
I don't know. You know what it was too? Is like if we're someplace for dinner that's in another resort,
right?
We will pop in a quick service and fill them up if we have them with us.
We did that one. We used that one once when it was offered as a free incentive.
Yeah.
And I liked it. And I'll tell you why I liked it. Is it something I would pay for? Maybe. Because it opens up the possibilities of what I might want to try for a meal. Whereas if I pay out of pocket, I'm limited by how much am I willing to spend.
Okay.
And my wife, having a mathematical mind, she tracked all of our credits. And by George, by the time we left for the airport, there weren't nothing left on it.
Of course not. Why would there be? You got to use them all, even if you're taking, you know, snacks back.
So let me explain a little bit about how dining plan works. And Lori, if I get something wrong and you know, let me know, because I'm just going off the top of my head from memory.
Okay.
Basically,
it's been a while, but yeah.
If you purchase one of these packages, those are entitlements.
Correct.
They are connected at this point to your My Disney Experience app, and you get one entitlement per day, per person, for each meal that you use it in.
In the past, you could use more than one. Like if you were, so if you had the one that has the sit down,
right,
the table service, the quick service, and the snack.
Yep.
You could use two quicks in a day and use two tables in another day. It was kind of like if you're there for 5 days, you get five tables.
Right. You can mix and match it any way you want to.
Correct. Yep. Exactly.
And in addition to that, if you want to do a more exclusive type meal, you can cash in two sit-down credits.
Right.
For one of their signature restaurants.
Correct.
Like California Grill, for instance, I believe would be a two credit meal.
I think Cinderella's Table is one.
Yeah.
There's a handful of them. probably, I would say Topolino's will fall in there now.
Now, one of the places that I think the standard dining plan could come in real handy is if you've got young kids and you want them to be able to meet characters, using this for character breakfast is a very good use of the credit.
It's for the other, I believe for lunch and dinner, it's considered a signature. You have to use two. At least it used to be.
I don't know, because we did Park Fair on the trip that we had them, and it was only one for each of us.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. I know that Cinderella's is two. I'm thinking Akershus might have been two.
Only ever eaten there once, and it wasn't a dining plan.
And they upgraded Le Cellier from one to two. I don't know that Le Cellier was worth two credits. When we ate there, it was worth one, and I enjoyed it. I don't know if I'd wanted to lose a second one on that.
Or it used to be Le Cellier at lunch was one, and at dinner it was two.
Correct.
For a while.
They changed. Okay. Yeah. When we were there first, it was one for both lunch and dinner. Shortly after that, I think like the following January, it went from one for lunch to two for dinner.
Okay.
And then the following year, maybe it changed and it was two credits all the way across.
Gotcha.
I haven't eaten at some of the other steakhouses, but from what I've understood, you can get better quality meal for those two credits, even if you just walk over to, say, the Boardwalk or somewhere over there. You could go to one of their steakhouses and find something a little more tasty.
I was going to say Yachtsman's right there, isn't it?
Exactly.
Beach and
Yacht Club, yeah. What's your take on it? Is dining plan, I know that people that have annual passes don't see this as being a benefit for them, and I understand that. Can they not purchase it separately?
I don't remember, to be honest with you. To me personally, at this point, the way we travel, and I kind of said this to you the other day,
right?
I don't know that if you're going to give it to me for free and it's part of my like promotion and what have you, I'm not going to say no to it. But if I'm going to have to purchase it out of my pocket, I don't know that we will. The way we kind of roll now when we go is we order through Amazon Fresh a bunch of breakfast stuff so that we eat breakfast in the room. To save a little money there, we tend to go. And I mean, I can't really think of any time now at Epcot where there's not a festival, where there's not food booths involved.
I think there's like 2 weeks the entire year where there's nothing official.
To me, and the way we travel, I'd rather spend that little extra to make sure we had hoppers so that we could pop into Epcot for an early dinner and just work our way to our favorite booths and do it that way. You know, if I'm going to take the time to do a sit down meal late, you know, like the last two times I've been, we're doing things like California Grill or someplace of that level that would have been two credits for us anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, for us, like I said, if they're going to give it to me for free, then that's fine. We'll use it. But I don't know that we would go and purchase it for the way we travel. But like you said, for a family with kids, you know, that might be the way to go, because that way, you know, you've got planned time that you're going to be inside in air conditioning, you know, feeding your children when they need to be fed kind of thing.
Right.
Potentially meeting characters and getting a little bit of a break.
One of the nice things about this, I think, is it forces you to take that break, like you were saying.
Yeah.
It forces you, because if you do a sit down meal at Disney, you're chunking out at least an hour and a half to 2 hours sitting in the air conditioning, waiting for food to come, especially if it's something where they're serving you. It doesn't all come at once. It comes in waves.
Right.
And depending on what you order may shorten or lengthen the delivery time to your table.
And depending upon where you're eating as well, it could take you that additional time to get there.
Exactly.
Like if you're in the parks and you're going to Springs for dinner, you got to leave yourself that extra time to get from your hotel or from that park to Springs and back and, you know, forth. That adds in as well.
But I think that's an additional benefit for having the standard dining plan or even the quick service. Because you can sit in air conditioning, enjoy your meal, relax. You don't have to rush.
Right.
And if you've got little ones who maybe don't necessarily need a nap, but they're kind of on the edge, taking that little break and letting them refuel, and recharge can make a world of difference on the rest of your day.
Absolutely.
I know for our kids, it did. Yeah, exactly. I know for our kids, that came in really handy. None of my kids were napping at the time we went. They were all able to go, you know, pretty good. My son would tire out before any of us. And I mean, I was an early bird even back then, but when I'm at Disney, my bedtime kind of slides depending on where I'm at. I stay up till the nighttime spectaculars.
Well, I was going to say, you got to watch fireworks.
Exactly. But even I enjoyed the moments when we would sit, whether it was quick service or sit down and relax for a little bit, because that gave me enough to make it through the rest of the night as well.
Yeah, it's that forced pause.
Exactly. Yeah. I've made it through a lot like that. I mean, the day that you and I met up at Epcot last September, I just took a ride on the monorail. I rode over to the TTC, got off, looked around for a little bit, got back on, came back over to Epcot, met my wife and daughter who had just come off of Guardians for the second time that day. You know, then we did a few things together, and then we met you for Harmonious. That turned out to be a great day. And I have to believe, number one, I love the monorail. To me, it's an attraction of its own. And I have to ride it at least once every time I'm there. Whether I have a need to ride it or not is not a part of the discussion. My need is the fact that I love that mode of transportation, and I want to experience while I'm there.
Yeah, but that forced time we sat there too in Epcot that evening, that True. Was good. It fueled me up to get through and like
yeah.
pause.
And I know everybody's happy that the ring and the tacos are going away, but I did not hate that show.
No, I didn't hate that show either.
Especially considering where we were. We had great seats for it. We could see everything. And my Magic Band was lighting up like crazy. That was worth
Yeah, the only thing we couldn't see was Spaceship Earth behind us. That was the only thing that we were missing.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. In that instance, it's not going anywhere. It's not like it's going to roll away.
The boat tacos are gone, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, our next item is really not a surprise to anybody, but Disney has announced that for deluxe resort guests, they will be extending the evening hours, the late evening hours. It will be on select dates at select parks throughout 2024. An early theme park entry is available for all Disney resort guests, which, as far as I know, is still only going to be a half an hour. But I'm kind of hoping they might bump that back up to the hour that it used to be, because we use that early entry every day and only once. Only once did we walk in and all the attractions were actually working.
Oh, that were supposed to be open?
Yeah. Our first day at Magic Kingdom, we were going to do People Mover and Buzz and a couple other things. The only thing running was the carousel. Now, I'm okay with that. Carousel of Progress is a classic. I was going to see it anyhow. I just knocked it out real quick. But that's not an attraction that you need right. to do on early entry. It's available almost all day long with little or no wait.
I was gonna say that's a 1 o'clock I need to get in the air conditioning ride for us. It's not a must do, but it's a nice
yeah I mean you can take a 20-minute nap in there, nobody will notice. Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever napped in there. I have napped places in Disney, but I don't think I've napped there. The half hours, it's short. If everything's working and everything's running, you can right. certainly knock some stuff out, but you have all those
we were
ifs
hoping
in
to
place.
Knock out Seven Dwarfs, but it wasn't running that morning either. There was some kind of power outage and it affected all these different attractions.
That everything on that whole backside.
So yeah. That was disappointing. And then on our second Epcot day, we went in the backside to get on Ratatouille and they opened the line and we're moving along and everything's looking great. Wait times posted at 30 minutes and then all of a sudden everybody comes walking out. They couldn't get it to fire up right, so they had to close it.
It's technology, you know, like that seems that and Rise, you know, like can't always bank that they're going to work.
Exactly.
It seems like.
And I did go to guest relations that day and I told the guy when I walked in, I said, look, I'm not a complainer, but if you're only going to give us 30 minutes, is there some way to make sure everything's actually working before we get here?
Before. Yeah. before you drop that rope.
He responded. Yeah. He said, "You know, I know about the Ratatouille ride, and we're sorry about that." He gave me 2 lightning lanes for us for the rest of the day to use anytime.
Yeah,
which was above and beyond what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting anything. I was just wanting to let somebody know that this was a frustrating part of my trip. And I didn't use an angry tone or anything. I just spoke to him like we're talking here now. And I told him, I said, for me, it's just a point of fact that, you know, we stay at a Disney resort to make use of these times, and we'd like to have them actually work in our favor. You know, I don't know what they could do about it, but it was nice to talk to somebody.
At least it's a point that's being heard. And if it's heard enough times, then eventually things start to change. Just takes time.
Yeah, I mean, if it means bringing cast members in an hour early to make sure everything's going to be up and running, then by all means, let it roll.
Those deluxe after hours too, though. Like I have to say.
Exactly. It's still deluxe stay.
It's still deluxe stay. And I looked, I'm going to tell you, because you know, we're planning. I got the next one starting. You know, the planning is there. And it's toying with us. But the hours are not out. The dates are not listed past the beginning. It's in the middle of July.
That should change soon.
And that's what I figured. Because what we were talking, my daughter and I were discussing, is that if we're there, the dates we're talking about in October, we're looking at a full, I believe it's 7 nights. Of those 7 nights, 4 of them are Mickey's Not So Scaries. So that's 4 nights we're going to lose potentially in Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's deluxe hours one of those nights, then we're going to, you know, like, no, it's not going to shorten our time, but it might be enticing to want to maybe throw a night or two in and see what happens.
Yeah, maybe do a split stay so you can get some of that deluxe action.
Yeah. Sure, why not? So, still a little irritating. It's just deluxe, though.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
I agree. And who knows? I think Bob Iger's working to undo a lot of what's been done.
Well, it was the elitist attitude that had been added to a lot of things. Well, if you pay enough, you can do all this stuff.
Right.
And I'd rather, you know, you and I've talked about this multiple times. I'd rather stay in a value resort, because what am I there for but to sleep, really, and shower, you know, for $250 a night and stay for a week. Then stay deluxe where I could only stay, afford to stay 2 or 3 nights at the most.
Yeah.
You know, I think there was a poll that I don't remember which person, where it came out of, if it was Disney or one of the other big things on Facebook last week. If you had $10,000 to plan a trip in Disney, what would you do? I don't know if you saw that. People were like, oh, I'd stay for a week at the Grand Floridian, or I'd go here and I'd go there. And somebody finally commented in, do you know how much it costs to stay in a deluxe per night? You're not doing 10 days at the Grand Floridian on $10,000.
That 10 grand ain't
going to
cut it. you might be able to pull something off if you rent DVC points. You might be able to pull something off.
But that's not park tickets. That's just sleeping. That's just, I'm not spending $10,000 to sleep somewhere.
I agree. Eat,
let alone, you know, it was like, no.
Gone are the days, it appears, where everybody at Disney resorts had the same benefits.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's one of the things that helped Disney to stand out above all others, is the level of service, the level of attention, the level of perks that they gave on-site guests were far and above anybody else.
Yep.
And it seems like in just a few years now, well, maybe the past 5, they've completely undone all of that.
Yeah.
And I saw a report earlier this week. I didn't dive into it, but there was a report that said the number one theme park in America is not a Disney park.
Yeah, I saw that somewhere too, and I don't remember. I didn't look at it.
And I haven't looked into it, but I'm going to guess that one of the Universal parks probably is number one. Because it always seems to go back and forth.
Yeah, it could be.
But I can't help but think that Disney could regain all that if they would untie the bootstraps a little bit and get things back to where they were, to where when a guest visited Disney, one, they didn't feel like they'd been robbed, and two, that they were getting every dollar's value in their visit. I think that would bring things up way up for Disney.
Some of this stuff seems like it might be, you know, I don't know that it'll go all the way back to where the way it was, but some of this stuff is definite progress, I think.
Up next, simplifying the Disney Genie Plus experience. We could only hope. According to this, Disney has been listening to guests who would like ways to plan Disney Genie Plus and individual Lightning Lane selections before their day at the park. And while they're not willing to share specifics yet, they want us to know that they're working on ways that guests may do this for visits in 2024. This is starting to sound a little familiar. We want to give our guests the opportunity to spend less time planning in the park and more time enjoying their visit with friends and family. We look forward to sharing details later. Now, as I recall, a few short years ago, when you were planning your trip to Disney World, you could book your first three FastPass Plus choices before your arrival.
Correct.
At the 60-day mark.
Yep.
Yeah.
Food was 180 and FastPasses were at 60.
So I'm just wondering if in some way we're moving back to that. And I think we're
still going to have to pay for it.
I was just going to say that. I'm wondering if they're going to give us the option of choosing which dates we want to pay for that on, or if the option is simply going to be to add it to the entire time of our tickets.
Because now it's every morning, right? You have to purchase. Right.
You can purchase them after midnight. You can make your first reservation at 7 a.m. And then if you're walking into the park at 9 a.m., you can make your second reservation.
Right, the 120-minute rule.
Yeah. And then as you use them, you can start stacking them.
Right. So
I know that when they first started Disney Genie Plus, they gave travel agents the ability to sell the package as a part of their vacation all in one fell swoop. That lasted about a month, and then they took that out. I don't know why. It was commissionable to travel agents, so there was an incentive for them to at least present it to their guests. But then they took it away. I haven't heard too many travel agents actually say that this is a great thing, but I've heard many people say, and I will admit that I tried it for one of our days while we were down there, and I could see where there would be a benefit. I did not get an early enough start using mine, but I still ended up getting, I think, 5 or 6 attractions out of it, including Mickey meet and greet. I could see where there would be value in it. I don't know how well it'll go over if it's a purchase for the entire length of your stay.
So this past trip when I was there in September, again, the same time you were there, I had mine purchased before I went. So I had the entire trip already done at the $15 a day or whatever it was, because I caught it right before they stopped doing it. And it was just me. So it was just $15, you know, each day. And then if I bought any individual Lightning Lanes, which I don't remember if I did or not, to be honest, had I had a family of four, I don't know that I would have done that at $60 a day on top of everything.
Right.
But I also think that them changing it to what my family equivalents to the Uber surge pricing, to be able to change the dollar amount of what it costs each day, depending upon how busy the parks are scheduled to be. If they sell it ahead of time, they lose that kind of flux. But do you take the add in that, well, more people will buy it for their whole trip, whereas they wouldn't buy it maybe on a day when it was $25 a day? You know, you're still going to make more money.
Do you choose quantity over spur of the moment?
Right. Which way are you going to make more money? So they have to be evaluating all that in the background. They have to be looking at.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way, but that's a very good point.
You know, getting me for $15 a day times 7 days, as opposed to getting me maybe down there once or twice for $20 or $15, you made more money out of me the other way, whether I use it or not.
Right.
I did have a couple days. I have a day or two in there at my trip that I don't really think I even used it.
Yeah.
I had it if I needed it, but I didn't really need it. In a busier time, I could see needing it more.
in my experience and in other people's relating their experiences, Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios are the only ones where it really comes into being a huge benefit.
I could see that. Yeah.
The only place I could see it, Animal Kingdom, where it might be useful would be with Avatar.
Yeah. And for somebody who doesn't ride it, it doesn't make a difference to me.
I don't know that there's any other attractions at Animal Kingdom on a normal day that have the kind of wait times that would make it worth even looking at a individual Lightning Lane, much less Genie Plus.
Yeah, that's about the only spot I can think of, really. Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got a couple more things here.
Okay.
Updated room categories for 2024 in the deluxe resorts. They're going to simplify the room categories that are being offered to three simple categories: river view, water view, and theme park view. Now, this doesn't seem like a bad idea, and to be honest with you, I think they need to take this and do it resort-wide. It says this adjustment better enables us to focus on the guest experience at check-in. I think they're looking at it streamlining the check-in procedure by having more rooms available at the time people arrive so as to cut down their need to wait. And I know, like, you know, we stayed at French Quarter this year. French Quarter's got like 9 different categories of rooms to choose from.
Jeez.
Got to be a way to make that easier. So that's what I'm saying. One of theirs is a garden view. Well, 90% of their rooms have a garden view of some type. The biggest question is, are you looking at a parking lot or the Sasagula River? Those are the other two options that really exist.
Yeah, my brain is now spinning while you're doing this. All right, I'm thinking all deluxe resorts in my head. And I'm thinking not all of them have a theme park view to begin with.
Right.
So how are they going to do that? And then the brain starts with, and some of them don't have rivers. So how's that? Like, they don't have water views. You know, they think about Animal Kingdom Lodge. They don't have a theme park, or but you have your Savannah view. So I guess that would fall into that category.
Probably.
But like, I'm just trying to think. Like, I mean, I guess it simplifies it. Having only stayed at a couple of deluxe resorts in my time, I don't know that I have enough experience to say too much about the different levels that were there to begin with. You know, like, we had a Savannah view room at Animal Kingdom Lodge when we stayed there on one trip. And yeah, we had a Savannah view, but we had no animal view. We had no animals outside our window. So it was like, I spent all this extra money to make sure we were on the Savannah view side, and not a giraffe, not a nothing. We had this weird bird that was outside our window every day, and that was it. So that was a little disappointing. You know, like, we stayed at Wilderness Lodge once, and over there, you know, there's not a whole lot of much that faces the theme parks.
Right.
We got a theme park view. We got a room that just, we were on a lower floor, but we were high enough. We were on that side where all their bungalows are now, along the water.
Yeah.
We faced the Contemporary and had an amazing shot of the fireworks from our third story room. Lucky, like, you know, just happened.
Right.
And that was the lowest level of room that they had, you know, like, purchasing tier wise. So we stayed there once club level, and all we saw was like trees. So we were at the backside, you know, facing like towards the campground, like out that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it all depends upon what's what. You know,
theme park views.
You don't have much at Epcot.
I suppose technically you could consider some of beach and yacht theme park view, but the only thing you can really see from those rooms is a firework.
Yeah, you can see the little bit that comes up at Fantasmic.
Depending on how high up you are, and none of those resorts are particularly tall. I think they're only like 4, maybe 5 stories high, if that. You might get a glimpse of Spaceship Earth, but that would be about it.
Yeah, and I think, like, over in the Riviera, you can see both Epcot fireworks and Magic Kingdom fireworks, I believe.
I do believe.
But if you're in a room that can see one, you're not going to be able to see the other just because of the way they face. You have to be upstairs to be able to see both.
Yeah, you have to go up on that deck.
And Topolino's, yeah. but I can't think of anything else hot. I don't. Coronado's got the tower now, but
I don't think that really sees a whole lot where it's at.
No, I'm just, that's what my brain is trying to, like, I get so turned around over there. You might be able to see fireworks from one or the other, but I don't know. I mean, theme park view, you've really got your Magic Kingdom resorts and a couple over there at Epcot, and that's pushing, you know, kind of the envelope.
Well, I personally can't wait for these packages to come out because I want to play with them a little bit and just get used to what books what so I can see for myself.
Yeah.
What it's all about. So, and that'll help me decide how far I want to keep pressing as a travel agent because I haven't been able to put as much time into it lately as I would like due to family situations or what have you. Sometimes Disney makes it really difficult as a travel agent to want to help people go there because of the expense. I mean, that's the biggest thing to overcome with the objections. People say it's very expensive. I can't disagree.
It is.
I know it is. The only thing I can tell them is the sooner you start planning, the easier it is on the pocketbook long term because you can book, like 2024 comes out here in
3 weeks, 2 weeks,
20 days.
Okay.
We can book essentially a year and a half out. So we'll probably be able to book up through at least September of next year. And then as we move forward, that'll change. If you go ahead and make the deposit, and then you can pay a little bit in along the way or save up and pay it all at once at the end, however you want to do it.
Right.
As long as it's all paid before that 30-day mark, you're golden.
Yeah.
I like helping people go. I love helping people plan. I wish Disney would make it easier for us to do that by making sure the value of the... I don't care how much people spend. I want to make sure that they're getting the value of what they're spending money on.
Right.
Disney has always been a product that's been able to be part of it. I want to see that come back.
I think, you know, like you did a quick one for me just to see for that October trip.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the past, that would have been one a lot less, but the park ticket part to it alone is almost as much as my room.
Exactly.
And that's where I think people aren't, you know, like the rooms, I mean, even for the values have gone up significantly because I can recall pushing, you know, booking something where we were paying like just over $100 a night to stay at Pop Century, not
right
terribly long ago. And I think the average on that stay you gave me, it's about 200.
And I know that a lot of that is because of the Skyliner,
which is fabulous and amazing. And I won't stay anywhere else because of that.
You've said it here. You and I think use the word recently when we were texting back and forth. It's a game changer.
Absolutely.
It's an absolute game changer. As long as that Skyliner is running, getting to Epcot, getting to the studios, getting to Caribbean Beach or the Riviera if you want to try one of the restaurants, never easier.
No more hopping to a park to hop to a bus to hop to, like, or taking an Uber.
I don't know if it's worth doubling the price of the rooms, but that's essentially what they did.
Yeah.
And people are paying it because they want that access.
I'm going to tell you, if you like the days I was there, just waiting that extra, you know, like I'm usually a rope drop girl, like I'm up and out and at it. But this time I waited a little bit those days I was going to Hollywood Studios, or I was going to Epcot, let that initial morning rush of people get on that Skyliner and go. And by like park actual open time or a little bit later, there was no line.
Right on.
Right on, yeah. Right off. It's a nice, you know, quiet, relaxing, because you're in your own little bubble ride over and back.
Yep.
And a couple of times coming, everybody's like, oh, it's so bad at the end of the night. I dawdled. Like the night we saw Harmonious, dawdled. I took some great pictures of Spaceship Earth. I popped in a shop. I, you know, like I took my time. The line never stopped moving to get on.
Right.
And as soon as I got on the Skyliner, I actually mobile ordered my dinner from Pop Century Food Court. So by the time I got off the Skyliner, my food was ready.
Like
I pushed, as soon as I got off, I pushed, I'm here, and got up there and picked up my food, went back to my room.
Yep.
And that alone was like not having to get on a hot, sweaty, body-filled bus at the end of the night. It's nice to have an option.
Okay, the last item for tonight is something that just came in, hot off the presses.
Oh.
The Eat to the Beat concert series has been announced, starting on July 27th, presented by Corksicle. I can't say that.
Corksicle.
Close enough for me. They've got some really good names. They've got several new acts that have never been here before. As a Christian myself, I love the fact that For King and Country is one of the first acts that's going to be there. They're fabulous. They're a lot of fun. They like using drums. They got Mercy Me and Toby Mac both scheduled in September. Not together. That'd be fabulous if they were together. I'd have to find a way to get there. But they've also got some other people. Sugar Ray's a usual one. He's there all the time.
I was going to say, he's a standard, yeah.
They got Billy Ocean, 38 Special. They've got Ruben Studdard, who I didn't even know he was still around doing anything. Yeah. I haven't heard anything. One of my all-time favorites, Ray Parker Jr.
Let's go Ghostbusters, right? I'm testing my brain here for a second.
Yeah. So there are a lot of really good groups. There are some that, like I said, haven't been there before. They're new. There are a lot that have been here before. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And that's going to run the entire course of Food and Wine.
Very long.
Through November. Right? Yes, it is. It's unbelievably long. And there will be dining packages available for those at select dining locations around Epcot. So make sure you check into that. I'll try and pass the information along as that becomes available. There you go. That's what I've got for this week.
I had not heard the Eat to the Beat concert yet. So that was news. That must have just come today, yesterday.
I just pulled it up like an hour ago, right before we started recording. I'm like, oh, they got this out.
And I did look while we were talking before. Marathon weekend is the first weekend of the fifth, or I don't have a calendar right in front of me, but so that everything is starting right after Marathon weekend.
Well, Laura, it's been great having you along. Thanks so much for adding to the conversation.
Thank you for asking me back.
Always. You're a great friend to us, and we definitely appreciate you.
Anytime. So,
and tourists, that brings tour number 103 to a close. Be sure to tune in next time. We've got some good stuff to talk about. We'll talk to you then. Thanks again, Lori.
Anytime.
Hello, tourists. Magical Matthew speaking. As you may have heard in this week's Tour of Disney Conversations, 2024 packages to Walt Disney World are scheduled to be released on May 31st, 2023. That's just a few short weeks from now. I would love to help you in planning your visit. I want to remind you that there is never any additional cost to using a travel advisor. I get the same rate you would if you booked directly with Disney. The difference is that I do the heavy lifting for my clients. If there's a special that comes up that can be applied to your visit to Walt Disney World, I will work to secure that into your package. And in many cases, it may save you some money or add value to what you already have booked. Just a $200 deposit is all that's needed, and you can pay as much or as little as you would like up to 30 days before your arrival. Contact me directly for a free, no obligation quote at magical_Matthew@outlook.com, and let's put some magic into your vacation. I look forward to working with you, and thank you for listening to Disney Conversations on your favorite podcast platform.
PTFN, ta-ta for now.